Thank you for taking care of us through the tests that we have had for this semester. And now, Lord, we pray that you would send all of us four girls a sweetheart. And all of them says, Amen. Turn to the 8th book in the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and the book of Ruth. The 8th book of the Bible, New Beginnings. How many has never heard a message out of the book of Ruth? Everybody's heard a message out of the book of Ruth. What about the book of Esther? Everybody's heard one out of Esther. What about Ecclesiastes? What about the Song of Nowhere? The book of Ruth, read on the day of Pentecost, which was 50 days after Passover, and it's sandwiched in between the book of Judges, which is a book of failure, and the book of 1 Samuel, which is a book about the kingdom of God. There are two books in the Bible that's named after women. One of them is the book of Esther, and the other is the book of Ruth. I've had the opportunity to live with four women, so I do know a little bit about women, somewhat. I first learned about the book of Ruth from Dr. M.R. Dehan, who wrote a little book years ago in the 80s, I believe it was, maybe even in the 70s. And he called it The Romance of Redemption. Just a small book, only 85 verses in the book, and yet it's impossible to exalt the teaching during a lifetime of ministry. In the book of Esther, if you remember, we find there is a Jew who marries a Gentile. And then in the book of Ruth, you have a Gentile woman who is going to marry a young bachelor there, he's a Jew. There's a lot about tragedy in the book of Ruth. There's a lot about romance in the book of Ruth. There's history. There's prophetic things that's found here in the book of Ruth. It's a picture of God's great love for us and the redemption that he has for us as he has purchased us. It speaks about a kinsman redeemer. If you read the book, you'll find the love story of redemption as it unfolds and how you will be reminded of Jesus, who is our kinsman redeemer. You'll notice here that it opens with a very tragic scene. The title of our lesson today is Making Right Decisions. I'm sure all of us have had those decisions where we said, if I had known, had I known this or had I known that, then this I would have done. Look at the verse number 1 and 2 of Ruth chapter number 1. And there is the departure from the land. It says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. You'll notice there the first word in that verse number 1 is the word now. Now is a connective word connecting us back to the book of Judges, chapter number 21, there in verse number 25, where it says there, in those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, we know here that the last judge, Samson, has died. And the land is absent of a ruler, and every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. When the King of Kings is not ruling in one's life, then we realize that that person will not experience the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is a sad state to be in. But when the Lord Jesus is made Lord of our life, there will be no longer be right in your own eyes, but you'll try to be right in the eyes of Jehovah God. I find many people are doing their own thing. They're going their own way. They've forgotten God. And yet God will chastise them if they've ever truly been born again. I find here, you'll note here, there was a famine in the land. We really don't know what caused the famine in the land. We're not told here in the scriptures. But back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 11, there in verse number 17, and it reads this, and it says, "And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you." So a famine revealed that there had been a departure from God, and Israel was suffering the consequences of what was going on, doing the things in their own eyes. Kind of sounds familiar to us today, does it not? When everybody's doing that which is familiar in their own eyes. Now you'll notice here, it says in verse number 2, "And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his sons of Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there." Let me just give you a few things here. The name Elimelech simply means "my God is king." And anytime that you see E-L on a Hebrew name, that is a compound name for God. For instance, there is the word Bethel, B-E-T-H-E-L, which means the house of bread. There is Samuel, S-A-M-U-E-L, which means ask of God. There is Daniel, God is my judge. Eli, Jehovah is high. Ezekiel, the man of God. So Elimelech reminds us of a Christian that has served God and lived for God because God is king in his life. But you'll notice here, he says here that he's called an Ephronite, which means that he not only is God is his king, but the word Ephronite simply means that he's fruitful. So we have a man here who's lived the godly life and God has made him fruitful. And we have a picture here that illustrates a Christian here that's going to get out of God's will. He's living in the house of bread. He's living in the place of Judah, which is a place of praise. And now you'll notice here that he's going to leave there. He's got a wife by the name of Naomi, which her name means pleasant one. She's been content. She's enjoying life. She's living down there in Bethlehem. Everything's going well with her. She's enjoying her family together. She's enjoying other women that are around there. And somehow another, her husband gets this idea, because of the famine that's in the land, then I'm going to leave Bethlehem, Judah. And you'll note where he goes. Where they're living, it says here that they go and they move to the land of Moab. If you look in the book of Psalms, chapter number 60, there in verse number 8, you'll discover there it says Moab is God's washpot. So again, they're leaving the house of bread, a land of praise, and this is a reminder of us that even a Christian can get out of God's will and go to a place that God does not approve of. I'm sure everybody in here could have a story to tell of a situation maybe in your life when you were living close to God. Everything was going well with you. God was blessing you. You had a good job. You had a good family. Everything was going good. You were living in a nice place. And all of a sudden, you up and you make a decision. And this doesn't just happen in the spur of the moment. I find getting out of God's will may take some time. I realize that back in my ministry, in my earlier days, there was a time in my life I was trying to get away from God. I had a good job. I was working for the U.S. Forest Service. I had moved up in the position. I think I was a GS-4 and up for a promotion into a GS-5. They were sending us out west to fight fires out there in the Midwestern firefighting, and they shipped me into Boise, Idaho, and then they put me on a bus, and they rode me all night up into a place called Missoula, Montana, and then they put us on another bus, and they rode us up into the hill country there to fight another fire. And here, I'm really enjoying this. I mean, you know, God's just blessing, and I feel like maybe I can get away from God during this time. And I go down, and you're sleeping in a sleeping bag out in the boonies, everywhere night found you. That's where you slept. I had put my sleeping bag down in this field, so to speak, where they had a clear cutting, and I was laying there in the sleeping bag, and I had went down and I'd found a piece of plastic. It was a pretty good sized piece of plastic, and I'd made myself a tent. And so they'd sent some guys down. They said, "You want to go down and unload a truck?" And I said, "Oh, well, sure. I'm not doing anything, so I'm going to go down and unload my truck." And they had sent us in a load of K rations. You guys who have been in the military, if you've ever eaten K rations, you know what that's like. And you know, I think you get about 6 or 8 cigarettes in every pack of that. You get V8 tomato juice, you get peanut butter, you get crackers, and then a bunch of other things that are there. And a bunch of the boxes have been cracked open. And so I'm packing my pockets full of cigarettes because I didn't smoke, but I could get $1 a piece for them after several days. Days of activity when they've sold them out. I get $1 a piece for them. This is back now early, what was that, in 60s and 70s. I get $1 a piece for them. I could get V8 tomato juice. I was telling somebody the other day, when I moved out of my tent, another guy moved into it. I had 26 bottles of V8 tomato juice that I had left in my tent. And I said to the feller, "You can have it. I'm going home. I'm getting out of here." So this has been a difficult time. So they were going here. They were leaving the house of bread, and God had been blessing them. And here I am. I'm somewhat out of God's will. I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not praying. I'm not seeking His will. God, if you'll just leave me alone, I'll be all right. And I'm laying in that tent looking out over on the hillside, and God showed me a picture of hell. If you've ever seen a big tree, I'm talking about a big tree. I'm talking about a ponderosa type pine tree. And it starts burning at the bottom. And it burns up. And as it burns up, what it does, it pushes the gas in that tree to the top. And when it gets to the top, it just literally explodes. And I'm laying there watching this tree burn. And all of a sudden, the explosion. And God spoke to my heart, so to speak, "That's hell." I slip out of my tent, out of my sleeping bag, and I slip around the side of the mountain, and I fall on my knees, and I cry out to God. I'm glad He heard me. And some of the guys with me, I made a statement. I'd gotten to that place that if they don't fly me home, I'm going to walk home. And I said, if I can ever get back to Atlanta, Georgia, I'll kiss the runway. when I land. And so we landed in Atlanta, Georgia. And we're coming down. This was the old days. I'm walking down the ramp coming down there. And one feller, he comes over and elbows me and he says, "You remember what you said?" And I said, "What did I say?" He said, "You kiss the runway." He said, "Get down there, buddy." And so here I am on my hands and knees, kissing the runway because I'm back in Georgia. So they went to Moab. They leave the house of bread, the place of Judah, which is the place of praise, and they go to Moab, which is God's washpot. Can you imagine that? Moab in the Bible is a type of the old person and the fleshly desires of the old life. Moab is on the other side of Jordan. We always talk about that song, you know, if we could get across Jordan. Jordan is a type, really, of a type of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the believer into the power of new life. It represents crossing over into a new life. While Moab, on the other side, is a type of the natural life. And Elimelech and Naomi reminds us of a believer who at one time has God as their king in their life. They're in the will of God. They're in the house of God. They're being very fruitful there. And now they're moving down to a place known as God's washpot. Verse number 2 says, they went there to sojourn. Do you know what it means to sojourn? I'm only going to be here just for a little while. I'm going to go down to the land of Moab, and when I can get my life straightened out, and that's the problem with a lot of people, they try to straighten out their life before they come to God. I talked to this person not long ago, if I can ever get my life straightened out, I says, you'll never do it. You come to Christ and then you get your life straightened out. And so there's a lot of people that are trying to get their life straightened out. So they go down to sojourn in Moab, just stay there for a little while, but notice what it says. They stayed there for 10 years. A lot of people that are out of God's will, they never dreamed that it would be like this. They never dreamed that one day they would be out of the house of God. No longer would they be attending the house of God. There'd be a day that would be out of God's will. And the devil is good at finding things to do in order that you might miss the church worship and the singing and things like that. He'll make sure that there's things available for you. That's very easy to find other things to do. I remember when they used to celebrate my grandmother's birthday. And they always had it on a Sunday. Every Sunday they'd have the birthday. If her birthday was on Wednesday, they'd still have the celebration on Sunday. And my mother, being the strong-willed person that she was, she said unto them, "You can't eat until Jerry gets here." Because they always wanted me to pray, ask the blessings up on everything. So I'm pastoring a church about 10, 12 miles away. And we started church there at 10, had Sunday school, and usually got out of preaching about 12 if I didn't get a button in my mouth. And so I've got to leave there, and then I've got to drive about 10 or 12 miles. And so here they are walking around, and I got to meet some of those folks the other day. We had a funeral this past Thursday over there for one of the family members, and some of them were there. And we sat down by the table and we was having our meal together. And they said, "Boy, we miss this. We miss our fellowship that we used to have." Some of them stayed, some of them didn't stay. They continued there. I think this story of Elimelech and Naomi can be told by many a family. They made the wrong decision. I moved here to your county Yes, I'm not original from here. I moved here into Union County on a March morning, opening of trout season that day, 1982. And I stayed here. But about a year and a half after I had been here, I wanted to go back to Moab. Moab was better for me then. I was working for Ethicon, for Johnson & Johnson. I had a good job. They were paying my insurance. I had just been to a class, and they were saying unto me, "We want you to go back to school, which is up in New Jersey. We want you to go back up there, and we're going to give you a raise, and everything's going to be good." You see what the devil is doing? And I so happened there that the devil made sure I'd went to Gainesville Hospital to minister to somebody that was having surgery. I'm coming back through by Cornelia, Georgia, and something says unto me, "Why don't you just go by and see the old fellas again?" And so I drop into Ethicon, walk into there, and my boss man that was sitting there behind his desk, he gets up, walks around, hugs my neck, says, "It's so good to see you again. Glad you came by." And, you know that job you had? Just so happened that job came available again this past week. You want it? Yes, I'd like to have it. Plus, there's a raise into it also. And the same promises that you had when you left here will be the same promises if you want to come back. Do you want it? We have been struggling. All my gold bonds are gone. Savings certificates. I'd canceled all them in. Here was a church that wanted a full-time pastor, but they wouldn't pay him full-time. Do you want it? Yes. I said, "Fred, let me pray about it for a couple of weeks. And I'll let you know something." So I pray about it. I go down to the church. I fall into the altar. And I'm saying, "Please, God, let me go back. Please, God, let me go back." And God kept saying, "No. No. Are you sure, God? No." So I make a special trip back over to Cornelia because I told Fred I would let him know something. And I walk in and I say, "Fred, I'd really love to have that job back. But God says no." And this is what happened. He got up from behind his desk, and he was a big guy. He walked around, and he put his arms around me. And he says, "Please forgive me for even offering." And tears were dripping down his cheeks. "Please forgive me for offering." And when I celebrated 20 years at that church, I looked, and there sat Fred Blackburn and John Warwick on the back bench come to celebrate my 20 years of that church. And he says, "I'm glad you didn't take my offer." The discipline of the Lord, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives." You know, this is the first act of disobedience. It says there, they named their two sons, Mahlon, sickly, Chilion, pining or puny. Reflects the difficult circumstances of the time. possibly related to the famine that has come upon the land. I really don't know why they named their sons that. I'm having a hard enough time trying to figure out why my mom named me what she did. Much less a man that, are these people here that had named their son Sickly and Piney. It appears to me that they began to drift from God in their hearts a long time before they ever left the land of Bethlehem. Verse 3 says, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died." And on down in verse number 5, it says, "And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them." There's a time when God has to deal with His children in firm ways. And sometimes, even in fatal ways. Whenever a person gets out of God's will, God will come along. And He's kind of like when, and this came to my mind as I was trying to put this message together. And I remember sometimes our children, I'd say to them, "Don't touch this," or "Don't do this." And when you tell a child not to do this, what is their tendency to want to do?
They're a rebel. They do it anyway.
"Don't touch the heater, it'll burn." What do they do? They just touch the heater. I had an old 71 Dodge van. You girls remember that. Had a bed in the back, table there with the pews, with the seats there where they could eat. And I'm driving down the road, going to a place to preach, run a revival or whatever. And what do you hear in the back? "Mama, Daddy, they're on my side." Y'all remember that? Which one? I don't remember which one done that. One of you took a bite out of the other's peanut butter sandwich. "Mama, they took a bite out of my sandwich." And there was always the matter of wanting to stop at McDonald's. And your county here built a McDonald's on my way to church every morning as a reminder unto me that when my children wanted to stop there, I couldn't afford to stop at McDonald's and get them anything to eat. And I always said that my son could see a McDonald's 10 miles away on a back alley. And he'd jump up and down in the seat wanting to stop. There's been days when God was king in my life. Days of happiness. Days of enjoyment. Life has been so blessed. There's been discipline. But then there comes the desires for the Lord. But notice when they leave Moab, what they leave. Can you picture this? Here's three widow women standing on a hillside with three mounds. With three graves. And no doubt in my mind, they recalled the days of living in the house of bread in the days of praise. And no doubt Naomi said, why did my husband bring us here? Verse 6 tells us her desire. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Her repentance, notice her actions here. Not only was she going back to the house of bread, but she had to leave Moab. I used to play country music. I used to play the square dances. I used to play in the beer joints, the liquor stores. And I remember I hadn't been saved very long until a Christian group came together to sing Christian music. Sorry, to play country music. And so one of the guys that was over that, he came unto me and he said, we want you to come and play with us. Used to be pretty good playing the guitar, somewhat on the bass. We want you to come and play with us. We'll put you back in the back there where nobody can see you, you know. The devil will hide you back there in the back where nobody can see you play. And by the way, we're going to do one gospel song at night. After we kind of get done, in order to finish things up, we're going to do a gospel song. Would you be willing to come up and do the gospel song after we've played all of this music here and everybody's danced and had their big time and all like that? You can come up and you can do the gospel song. Who do you suppose would be looking at me? Sometimes you have to leave God's wash pot in order to get back to the house of bread. There's not a person in here that sometime or another you have not been tempted or you are tempted to go back to the ways of the world. Amen? Pastor and I sit in my office sometimes and I say, Scotty, how did we get through this? How do we get through this? When a person gets right with God, there'll be a repentance. Notice her return. Verse 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of praise. She's leaving a place of sin for a place of blessing. Now, Orpha doesn't go. She goes back to her people, to her old way of life. Probably, no doubt, she marries another person there in that day. But if you'll read the rest of the book, it says, Ruth says, I'm going with you. Where you live, I will live. Where you die, I will die. Your people will be my people. God forbid I ever leave thee. Now let's bring it together. Who does Ruth marry? The most eligible bachelor in Bethlehem. Boaz. They have a little boy. You know his name? That little boy's name is Obed. Little Obi. Now, if Ruth doesn't come out of Moab and come back to the land of Bethlehem, Judah, and marry the eligible bachelor of the day, Boaz, and they have a little boy by the name of Obed, you might forget Jesus. Because Obed grows up, he gets married, and he has a little boy by the name of Jesse. And Jesse grows up and has a little boy by the name of David. And David grows up and he has some boys. And all the way down to one day, God visits a young maiden girl and says unto her, in your womb will be conceived a child of the Holy Spirit of God. And when Elizabeth, who's 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, and by the way, you figure it out, they met in the month of December. You can figure that out, that Christmas don't come on the 25th. They met in the month of December, and Elizabeth said unto Mary, I'm expecting a child. And what does Mary say to Elizabeth? I'm pregnant with child too, of the Holy Spirit of God. And what did old John do in the womb? He had a flip. He flipped in the womb there and had a shouting spell. You say, I can't see that. Well, leave me alone. I do. He was rejoicing before he ever got here. He was a man crying in the wilderness. So I close by saying this. There's an old song. I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin, too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Is this a story that you might be able to share with us? Or could this be a story that in your future you would have to tell? I've heard many of them over the years. If I had not made that decision, if I had not got out of God's will, I stand before you as a man that's been blessed beyond means. I'm a father of four precious children who has blessed me and the wife with some great grandchildren, even grandchildren, great grandchildren. And I got a picture this week of little Hayden on a stroller or something, reminded me of her grandmother when she was about that size. And I know, you say, what'd you do?
I went outside and played it and cried. You say grown men ain't supposed to cry. I know, but I did anyhow. As they come to sing, let's pray. Father in heaven, it's a good day. I want to thank you for saving a wretch like me. God, had you not got my attention as you did, I could be telling this story of Elimelech and Naomi. I was headed down that path, and God, you stopped me from going in the wrong direction. Have there been other times that the devil has tried to get me out of God's will? Sure. And I'm confident probably some here today could share the same story. And there may be some here today, God, that's on the verge. And you brought this message to them to turn them around. And today as they sing, I pray, God, that you'll speak to their hearts. And they'll make things right with God. Whether they come to this altar to do it or whether they do it on the pew where they're sitting. But maybe after the service they'll come and they'll say, that's me. You spoke to my heart today through the Word of God. I don't want to leave the house of bread and the house of praise and go into a place of Moab. And God have to get my attention. Thank you for this day. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. As we stand, as they come to sing. I'll be here if you need to come. I'll pray with you if you need to pray. If you need just to come, you come.
Every moment of my life, every moment. me, Jesus. Give me, Jesus. Give me, Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me, Jesus.
I want to hear you, church.
Jesus, give me Jesus.
You can have all this world.
Give me Jesus.
Just like that little child that was sitting back there singing the song, that's where we come, like a child. Give me Jesus. Father, it has been a good day, and we're so grateful and thankful, and Lord, you do say that you'll bring us back. We get out of line. Lord, I pray that we leave here, we deal with indifferences, anything of the sort that would cause us to be out of your will. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time to just come together.
Hey guys, Pastor Scotty Gerard here, and I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. We really hope that this has been a resource that's helped you grow in your purpose for God, but also grow in His glory. We also want to extend an invitation to you to join us here in person at Harmony Grove. We are located at 1008 Town Creek School Road in Blairsville, Georgia. We would love for you to come be a part of our service, to be a part of our small groups. If you have children, we have children's classes on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, and all this information can be found on our website. We'd also like to continue help you in your growth with Christ. If you have a question, maybe a prayer request, or just need to talk to somebody, you can contact us in the emails below in the description, or you can also contact us through our app and through our website, which are also found in the description below. Again, we hope this has been a blessing to you, because we know that you joining us today has been a great blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless.